welcome to the Roanoke Weekly Podcast for November 5th. We're here with a new guest today. How are you doing today, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Of course. And we've got Xavier here as well. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. How's Saturday, man?
Saturday was absolutely amazing. I don't really know the words to really grasp everything that happened, that took place. But a lot of people came by. The vibes, the feelings were amazing. Everybody was happy. The food was good. People bought clothes. I was able to sit back last night and actually like kind of just process it, and to see that many people on 11th Street, you know, with all the stigma of that area, it was absolutely amazing. I know that it'll be a catalyst for change in that area. Some of my old students came by, and everybody was just happy. Like, everybody was just smiling. It just felt good. So I'm excited. I'll be opening up on Saturdays for right now. Still got the online store. But it was good. Anybody that helped out, I'm greatly appreciated. Big shout out to Big Lick Screen Printing for her consistency and working with me. So I definitely appreciate everybody that's helped out and getting it to where it was.
Very good. It's exciting to see all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Congratulations on a successful launch.
Thank you.
Well, we're coming into a big week here, folks.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, there may or may not be an election happening tomorrow. There definitely is a very big election happening tomorrow. I presume all of us will be voting, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, locally we've got House of Representatives, we've got the state Senate seat, or Senate seat with Tim Kaine versus Corey Stewart, as well as some other things. There's a couple state amendments to the state constitution up as well. So get out tomorrow and go to your polling station and vote.
Absolutely.
So it's worth noting, Matt, I know that you've a big transportation person. There's some easy ways to get where you need to go. Huh?
There are. I'm super excited that a couple of our local transportation institutions are trying to do everything they can to make it easier for people to get to the polls. So Valley Metro is doing fare free on Tuesday for election day. So if you're on a bus line or near a bus line and trying to get to the polls, that's a great option for you. If you're looking for a little bit more active way to get to the polls, the local Zagster Bike Share is also going to be free on Tuesday for election day. So you can take the bus, you can take a bike. And then another option is that Lyft, one of the mobility providers, is doing a half-price ride thing. You have to use a code. It's VOTEVA2, and you'll get half price off of your Lyft ride. It's really cool to see all of the different ways that organizations are really trying to support people to engage in the democratic process. It's very encouraging.
And if none of those work for you, Xavier is going to be around and available to pick anybody up. That's interesting. Is that not accurate?
Absolutely, yeah. Horse and chariot.
We'll put your number in the show notes.
But yes, please do get out and vote. The Roanoke Times and a number of other places have more information about what you'll be voting on. You can always go to the state election board, too, to see exactly what will be on your ballot when you show up there tomorrow.
So. Yeah, it's really cool. It seems like every election that happens now, there's more and more resources for people to learn what they're voting about.
This is true.
More and more resources to get people active and engaged and involved and actually and to the polls. And I think it's not necessarily partisan either. It's just about improving the community, which I think is really exciting.
Yes. So if you don't get out and vote tomorrow, we will be judging you. I mean, not necessarily harshly, but, you know, we will be judging you.
So. Be involved.
So one of the things that our local politicians enabled to happen was just over a year ago. It was a year from this past Tuesday. Amtrak came to town for the first time in a long time. And since then, very interesting to say that it's been, by the goals that were set for it, quite a success. Almost double the number of riders that were hoped for in that first year. So really exciting, aiming for 30,000, winding up over 54,000 rides. So I think we can all be happy about that, and hopefully those numbers mean we'll have it for a long time to come here.
Were either of you on any of those rides?
I didn't get to catch a ride, but I definitely wanted to, and they definitely worked with me well with the girls program that we have. We wanted to take the girls up on the train, and they do like a special discount. I think over seven people, they do a special discount. So if anybody has groups that they want to take somewhere, they definitely do discounts for a number up to seven or over seven. I've ridden the train. Is that the right word? Ridden?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I've ridden the train several times out of Lynchburg. So it does feel good for it to be home. I just haven't gotten the opportunity yet, but soon.
Well, we should probably take a Roanoke Weekly trip somewhere.
So right,
we can
right.
Record on the train.
Yeah. Like, I say like New York or something.
Yeah, I mean, I've had several friends do the train up to D.C. and
everybody's
had great experiences. Yeah. It was actually on my 2018 personal goals was to get a train ride up to D.C. And I will confess on air, I didn't accomplish that goal, but it's going to be on the list again next year.
Nice.
You still got like 2 months, Mike.
That's true. That's true.
I hear the lights in D.C. are very nice this time of year.
Oh, Christmas is around the corner.
Well, that's very good news and somewhat less exciting news. It appears that we're likely to all be paying more for our gas bills coming up here soon. Possibility that rates will go up even 11%, which is a significant spike in that. So they have to go through some steps to get there, but I wouldn't bet against us getting there relatively soon. So I know you guys are excited about that.
Well, it's one of the things that I haven't read enough of the stories about this, but I'm curious, like, when was the last time we had a rate increase like this? That's one of the things that I always look for when we're talking about, oh, this rate's going up, that rate's going up. If it's been fixed for a while, you know, if they've got to work on financing, you know, some improvements, I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I'm not necessarily excited about it. Don't get me wrong, but you know, if it's, you know, things happen, prices go up over time. So
it's true
enough. But that doesn't mean we can't be mad about it. But.
Yeah. I'm definitely just going to turn my heat off.
Yeah, knock it back a couple degrees.
This is the problem with
keep some socks on.
You can't really do that.
You can't do that, yeah. So, I like to be cold.
Blankets, man, blankets.
This is true.
I'm supposed to give blankets to babies, man. Come on now. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure they have reasons in that they need to do this for their bottom line. And also, there's a reduction in taxes that apparently they're going to get because of the federal tax cut that went through. And so that may be some of the reason for this, too. So one way or another, it looks like our gas bills will be going up. So be prepared for that come January. So budget accordingly.
And there's still a final approval process that it has to go to. Mm-hmm. But it sounds to me like it's pretty much a sure thing. And if for whatever reason it didn't get approved, everybody would get that money back, right?
Well, I'm very intrigued to hear you guys' thoughts on this next story, mm-hmm. which is that the city of Roanoke is considering the sale, and I should note that this was from last Friday. So, you know, this vote will be coming up probably today's city council. I don't know so there may be news before this even goes live, but they're considering selling 11.8 acres on Peters Creek to become a CarMax superstore. CarMax has apparently offered just over $1 million for it, but always interesting to see public land becoming private and what that becomes private for is always interesting as well. So,
do we know exactly where this parcel is?
I mean,
there's a lot of car dealers on Peters Creek already, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So it's kind of become that corridor around here.
I mean, Peters Creek is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where it would be.
I guess the thing for me that's interesting is, so CarMax is a big, big national retailer. I think they said 41 states now have CarMax dealerships in them. There for a while, they were really well known for having really great bumper-to-bumper warranties you could get on your used car. I don't know that, I know they still offer it. I don't know that it's quite as renowned. But the thing that interests me is that it's kind of a sign of general growth. Like, I mean, when I think of like the big cities that I've been in, it's like, oh, yep, look, there's the CarMax. Like, if you're driving down the interstate in one of these big cities, you can generally, if you look long enough, spot a CarMax. And so, in a way, to me, like, am I excited about 11 acres of public land going to a big used car dealership? Not so much. But it's also one of those things that, as I see, it's like, oh, okay, we're moving up a little bit. You know, we've got the interest of CarMax now. Right. Like, who's going to be next? And so it's again, it's. You know,
that's kind of how I look at things too. As many episodes as we've had, like, I always just try to find the. Okay, so this is actually what we've been wanting. We've been wanting to look like a bigger city and have better things. So, I mean, it's a move in the right direction. Of course, there's always negatives with any positive. But I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see what comes, but I always like to know that home is growing and that people on the outside can become attracted to it by the things that are coming here. So, like I said, I hope it's a move in the right direction.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, if this is what it takes to get a Trader Joe's in town, I suppose.
Right, I would love, yeah.
and I think it's also, like, you know, everything has a positive and a negative. And so if it's the city that's selling the land, I mean, that's $1 million the city is going to have to use for something else to kind of keep investing in itself. And so...
Well, it's true. I mean, you think about... There's a fair amount of land around, and you think maybe if they were in the county, the city wouldn't be getting the tax revenue from sales and stuff
right.
on that. So we'll hope that turns around too. So anyway, it will be interesting to see if you have strong opinions on it. Looks like they're going to be a public hearing, and city council will consider the request on November 19th at 7 p.m. So put that on your calendar and think about it. So there will be a chance for you to have your voice heard if you do have a particularly strong opinion about it. But that's that. Did want to change directions here a little bit and really give a shout out to Roanoke County for some of the work that they've done on Plantation Road. They just revealed some of their streetscaping last week, which is a big part of that is increasing opportunities for multiple forms of transportation on Plantation Road into all the different businesses that are out in that neck of the woods. So while it's called, you know, it's a streetscaping project, it's really much bigger than that. It's a comprehensive revisioning of that corridor in some ways, which is, I think, going to be a boon for us all.
Absolutely. And I, again, you mentioned earlier, I'm a transportation guy, so I always get excited about these kinds of stories. And it's neat. It's the first example of a multi-use path. So it's not just a sidewalk. It's paved. It's wide enough that people can both walk and bicycle on it. And I think I think we're going to see more and more of that because I think especially in the county, I think that's a really great solution for them. When you think about a lot of the pedestrian and bicycle infrastructure projects that have been going on around here, a lot of those have been based in the city. And so for me, it's really cool to see the county taking some steps forward in that front. And in the stories that I've read, really acknowledging, it's not begrudging. It's like, we're hearing this, we're excited about doing this to get more people out there and biking and walking. And you know, the stories from people that work in that area that are already talking about having a place they can go out and take a walk for lunch and really just be more active and see more of that area in which they're driving back and forth to. It's really inspiring.
Well, it is, and hopefully it provides an easier access for folks to jobs in some ways, and that more people can get out there more easily, and that's always a good thing when it comes to helping people find what they need to find. But we'll segue into saying that there's another, I promised Matt I wouldn't say that word, but I'm just messing with him at this point. We're going to move into a conversation now about Harris Corp, which is out in that neck of the woods and is one of the larger employees in the county. And interestingly, they've, due to an upswing in market demand, they've been able to add 50 new jobs, which is great news. And I think it just goes to show, you know, we see these big announcements all the time, you know, 100 jobs left here, 100 jobs coming in here, but often it's these smaller companies, not necessarily small companies, but things that are hiring 5 and 10 and 20 employees over the course of a year that really make this community move. So I think it's exciting. You know, they do interesting things in terms of technology for night vision, which is interesting to think about. Mm-hmm. That defense spending comes in handy in some ways. So
it's all interconnected.
It is. Well, it's, you know, it's just, there's also just not that many places that employ 500 folks in one space.
Yeah, so like,
this is very true.
For them hiring 50 more people, that's a 10% increase. That's not insignificant for a larger company to have that enough growth to support that. And so that's really, I love to see stories like that.
You know, I think someone told me, I was hearing a story last year about there's a steel manufacturer in town. A lot of folks don't know that. But they invested over $30 million in their property, but it only meant like one permanent new job. And so to see like investments that really equal new jobs is an exciting thing.
Right.
So exciting jobs for looking for supervisors, technicians, engineers. So really a lot of different avenues in the job market as well. So big shout out to Harris and their growth. You know, we have not dug into this avenue particularly much, but we all know that there have been issues with violence in our community over the past, you know, forever, but really it seems to have been getting worse over the past couple of years. And so there was a vigil held on Saturday at the Berglund Center to try and wrap around Roanoke was the title of it, but a way to kind of lift up the city and our thoughts and prayers in a way to try to hopefully spur some change with this. And, you know, it's obviously not going to solve everything, but it's always interesting to see how folks are trying to deal with what we know is an ongoing issue in some ways. So.
Yeah, and I read a report that they had about 50 people show up, which I think is really inspiring for this kind of like a really very grassroots organization. I know they were, promoting it through Facebook, and they got some press and stuff as well. But it's as much as this whole question of violence in our community is a really painful one and a difficult one to deal with. It's always, for me, inspiring to see when people are coming together because they love the city and they love each other and they want to create an atmosphere of positive change. And so I think any time somebody's out there doing that, you know, pulling together people that may not know each other before, creating community is just, it's a really great story.
Absolutely. I completely agree with both. As I'm reading the story and just thinking about all the vigils that have taken place this year, you know, at some point it'll be like somebody's going to say, okay, enough is enough. Like, you know, or maybe, you know, maybe it'll just slow down a little bit. Something's got to happen. But I think the more that these events like this take place, the more aware people are, the more compassion that is shown. If they can start getting kids to come out there and the youth to come out there to see these vigils, to see these parents who are hurt, the more things start to, you know, shake up. I think that's part of the problem is the kids right now, the youth right now really don't have, they're not aware of, I don't think they're aware of what they're doing. I don't think they're really aware of what's happening. They're just following music. They're following social media. And there's a lot of love that needs to be shown that's not being shown in the homes. So I don't know. I don't know the solution to fix it. I just know there's not a lot of love being shown. Okay. And when there's, you know, hurt people hurt people. So
I'm intrigued from either of you guys if – you know, I'm sure our listeners know about these issues and would love to see it get better. And if there's one place that people can invest either their time or their money or their energy, do you guys have thoughts on where might be a good place to do that?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many community centers here that have been going and community centers that are popping up. I mean, you've got the Weston Center right around the corner. You've got after school programs, you got that new Goodwill Goodwill Youth Center. You've got schools. I mean, you got mentoring programs. You've got Big Brothers Big Sisters. I know for sure since I've been here that there's been a waiting list out the door for kids who are looking for somebody. And so I look at that like, you know, if you've got kids that are waiting for 2 years for a mentor, you know. Eventually, if you're just waiting around all your life, you're going to find something to occupy your time, whether it's negative or positive. So I guess that's where, like, my passion comes in is just finding just a little bit of time to put a little bit of love in somebody's life. I think Roanoke has too many kids and too many opportunities for kids that just aren't. The need is not being met. But I think the new center, the new Villa Heights Center, the Boys and Girls Club, I can't begin to name how many centers and stuff there are for kids here. If you really want to get involved, there's a way. There's definitely a need, but I don't think anybody in Roanoke could say they don't know about a place where kids need help. So,
yeah, I think one of the things that stands out to me is this, you mentioned social mm-hmm. media, and they actually in the story they also mm-hmm. talked about social media mm-hmm. and how we always see these negative stories mm-hmm. and it's so easy to despair,
right?
And to say, you know what? Well, what can we do about this? I can't do anything. Right. I'm just one person. And whether that's organizing a vigil or going to a vigil
right.
or volunteering or donating, mm-hmm. there are so many things we
absolutely.
Can do that may not feel like much for just us as one person, but when we amplify that by all the other people in this community getting involved, it can make a tremendous difference.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in mentoring. Picking up a kid 1 to 2 hours a week can make a huge difference, especially if you don't know what's going on in that kid's life. And most of the time, kids act out because they're not getting the attention that they need. So you just showing them attention, giving them a open ear just to let them spill can make a huge difference. So find a mentoring program to get involved with. There's plenty of them. I don't know, I can talk about this for days. So.
Well, and I think it's also worth noting that whatever your passion is, there's probably some way to plug in with it. I mean, like, you know, how many folks in the area love being outdoors mm-hmm. Through the Humble Hikes? Mm-hmm. If that's what you want to do, then mm-hmm. there's a way for you to engage
absolutely.
With this through that passion. Of
absolutely.
Yours, so,
and it seems like those opportunities are constantly expanding too. So don't think you know everything that's out there. If
right.
If you feel like you do, you need to go read some more stories or listen mm-hmm. to some more podcasts.
Well. Very good. Well, we'll move on to what is both an interesting and somewhat depressing story, an important story, I think, in some ways, in that there's an archaeological dig. I don't know what an architectural dig would look like.
Yeah, they're probably uncovering some old architecture.
But there is apparently a massive terraced gardens area in on what used to be the Greenfield Plantation in Botetourt County, and there are now folks out there doing an archaeological dig on the site. They'll be out there for 10 days, but they're really looking into how it came about, and it's worth noting that they believe what their findings suggests pretty strongly that there was an enslaved labor force that did it, which is an important reminder that of the history that we carry with us. Even, you know, I think we see the reminders in places like Richmond and Charlottesville, where the South is a little more prevalent, and here in Roanoke we don't talk quite as much about that heritage as some of the other places in Virginia, but it's very much here and very much something that we have to acknowledge and be aware of all the time.
Yeah, when I think about historical plantations, you know, it's easy to feel like, you know, Roanoke here in Appalachia, you know, we were a bit more arm's length from that, and I think it is an important kind of sobering reminder that's part of this area's history that we inherit as well. And so I'm really curious to see what comes out of that. I hope that we continue to see some news stories about what those findings lead to. And it's neat to see that sort of historical research investment in our area as well. I think there's so many stories about our history that we just don't know. And I think this is a really cool way of uncovering some of those.
Absolutely. You gonna go out and dig this weekend, Xavier?
No.
No?
No. No, not at all.
Well, I can tell you what I bet Xavier's gonna take advantage of is the grocery delivery options that are coming to Roanoke here.
Yeah, I might do that. I might do that. I just don't know how I feel about it.
Right, right. I think this is like, it's a really interesting story for that very reason.
Yeah.
What makes you guys not thrilled about it? I'm intrigued.
Okay, so let's give a quick recap. So we're looking at Kroger has this new delivery service mm-hmm. Where you can get it. It's like next day delivery. Is
next
that right?
day, although you can't get perishables and frozen stuff.
Right, right. And then the other one is it Instacart? Is that mm-hmm. right? And so that's same day. So that's like you order it and somebody goes and buys it for you and brings it to your house. And really, these are just sort of next steps in those sort of improving the convenience options for people that are shopping, trying to compete with the Amazons of the world to be able to have, you know, that same kind of instant gratification that so many people have come to know with that. And so I when I was in college, I worked in the grocery business. So it hits close to home to me. You know, that was when the self-checkout robots were first coming out. Everybody was like, oh, I'm not going to use one of those. It's taking jobs away, all of this kind of stuff. And to fast forward, you know, this many years in the future, now we're looking at mm-hmm. where that you can scan and bag and not even have to talk to a person. You can have, you know, delivery services or the curbside services. I mean, it's an amazing thing to see that progression, and it's basically what's allowing a lot of these businesses to stay in business. And I think that's the piece that when we complain about, oh, well, you know, I'm never going to use that. It takes away jobs. Well, are you going to order from Amazon instead? Are you going to choose to do something differently? Or are you going to keep supporting those businesses and the people that work there and the people that support those systems? So yeah, I will say I used the click list thing for the first time mm-hmm. earlier this year. When I had an injury and wasn't really able to like walk around the grocery store and do shopping and stuff. And in that situation, it was a lifesaver to be able to just say, hey, we need these groceries, to have somebody go out and pick them up. It really, that started to change my perspective on, it's not, these services aren't just for lazy people. And that's, I think that's oftentimes that's the way they get promoted. It's like, oh, you know, well, you're so lazy, you can't go to the grocery store. Well, there are some people that get into the grocery store is not an easy thing to do.
This is true. This is true. Yeah, I don't know. I think I enjoy like going and getting groceries when I do real good get mm-hmm. groceries. I definitely eat out, but going to get groceries because you end up finding so much more things that you need, mm. or the variety, finding deals, things like that. I just don't know how I feel about somebody else bringing me my groceries at home. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like he said, it's part of the future. I mean, I guess I'm gonna have to get with it or get lost. Like, but I don't mind getting up and going to the grocery store and spending that hour bagging my groceries. I don't know. I put my earpods in and just kind of zone out. I don't know. I guess it's kind of. It's. I don't know. I don't know. It depends on the person.
You know, I used to love going grocery shopping, and ever since our daughter was born, it's a nightmare.
See, these yeah. days to go. See, I can go by myself. I don't have to take yeah. anybody. It's different.
Say, the other benefit of the click list and the least is I've not tried it yet, but I'm imagining it being a lot better for budgeting in terms
this
of...
This is true.
You don't walk in and like, and oh,
this is true.
Less impulse buys.
This yeah, is true.
Like, I mean, how many times have you bought things and you get to the cash register and you're like, whoa, that's how much it's going to yeah. be today?
This is true.
Or
this
you pick
true.
Up those donuts on the way to the cash register.
Especially if you go
those donuts.
Especially if you go hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't go to a grocery store hungry.
Yeah.
Well, and then if I understand correctly, Instacart is its own service. So like it's a business that's beginning to operate here in Roanoke that employs people to shop and drive. So that's not something that's being financed by the grocery companies. That's mm-hmm. another business that's going to be employing new people in a new way. And then the Kroger thing, obviously that's involving Kroger employees. So again, it's coming back to what we were talking about earlier. To me, it's a sign of, you know, Roanoke taking another step forward, being an attractive market right. for services like yeah. this. And, you know, we may quibble about exactly like how we feel about those things, whether they're actually bringing value to the community, but they are providing some income for people that may not have had jobs before or might be looking for another side hustle or something like that. I think it works kind of similar to like Uber and Lyft in terms of the way that, you know, you can be a shopper and driver and all that kind of stuff. Don't claim to know all the ins and outs, but it's one of these. I think it was founded by a former Amazon employee, ironically.
Right.
Just thinking about the different ways of connecting people with goods and services and supporting local business as well. So.
Yeah, and you know, in D.C. when I was up there, everybody had their groceries delivered to their house because they claimed to be too busy. Whether or not they were, of course, is an open question. Right. But. Also, transportation is really hard in some of these bigger cities, and so it's a, you know, it is a sign in some ways to get, that you're right that we're we're getting into those bigger city spaces in some way.
We definitely are. I mean, I know if you go to Tanglewood area around 5:30, you can sit in traffic for a little while. Like,
it's real.
Which I like it. I don't know. I like it. I love big city vibes. I don't love traffic, but I love the look of it, I guess, knowing that like it's growing.
You know that somebody else is sitting in traffic.
I know, right? Somebody's sitting in traffic with a baby.
Listening to our podcast.
I know.
If you're listening to this while stuck in traffic, please know that we don't love that you are stuck in traffic.
No.
We hope nothing but great commutes for all of our listeners.
Right.
Well, last of our news stories here, I just wanted to give a shout out to a friend in Ubada, who's a doctoral student in Virginia Tech's Translational Biology, Medicine, and Health graduate program down at VTCRI. Has just been named a fellow by the Neuroscience. What is the organization? Damn it. I lost it here. By the Society of Neuroscience. Very prestigious thing. Only 15 students are given this. It gives them access to great things. And if you've not run into Ubada around town, he's one of the coolest and most interesting people in town, so well deserving of this recognition. And so just want to take a moment to say big congrats, Ubada. You're doing good work, man.
Yeah, congrats both to Ubada and also to the VTCRI. I mean, any time that a student from an institution gets this kind of recognition, it's obviously a reflection on the person, but it's a reflection on the organization they're a part of, too. So that's another feather in their cap that's really exciting.
Well, Ubada does great work trying to make sure that research doesn't just stay on campus, that we're all engaged as Roanokers in the stuff that happens on the research institute.
Very outcomes focused.
Yes. But shall we do our spotlights, folks?
That's
nice.
All right. Well, Xavier, why don't you hit us up with your food?
Of course. So this was a hard pick, but I visited Billy's yesterday morning for brunch, and with about 15 people, and I had the Southern Fried Chicken biscuits and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said too.
That sounds amazing.
It was. It was an easy pick. I saw it come out, and I said, I want that. And they have a really cool Bloody Mary bar, and I got bar mixed up with buffet. So I went a couple times, and the waiter was like, "This is not a buffet. Like, you have to pay for every drink you get
every single time."
That was my first Bloody Mary. It was spicy.
Oh wow!
But it was different. It was like it was good. It was weird.
It's like a horseradish spicy.
It was. Yeah. But I had like shrimp in it, bacon.
Ooh.
And,
ooh, wow.
You know, it became like another like appetizer type of
dish,
thing.
Man.
It was cool. It was like a little celebration. But yeah, Billy's, I apologize for taking all the shrimp and the cheese and the bacon. But they showed me a good time. Very good food. Cool little vibe. I definitely didn't feel like I was in Roanoke again. I felt like I was in a different city. It was a younger crowd there. It was cool. It was nice little setup. So big shout out to Billy's.
I can't wait for the time when we're doing stuff like that, instead of thinking, oh, I don't feel like I'm in Roanoke. It's like, this is what Roanoke feels like.
Right, right. And I shouldn't have said
like.
That. I shouldn't
no,
have said
no,
that.
No, I think it's accurate. Yeah. I think a lot of us have those experiences and think, oh, you know, I don't feel like I'm in Roanoke anymore. I know I find myself saying
And I took the people that I went with all live in 757, New York, D.C., Maryland. So for them to go and just be like, oh, this is cool. This is really cool. This is dope. I knew there's some areas in Roanoke you could take people to and they feel like they're back in their city. So we picked Billy's. And it was cool. It was really cool. So that's another reason why I do enjoy being home, because you can find those little niches that take you out of your element, that you can bring some visitors to. And it's like, this is not the the same old Roanoke. Like,
yeah. I was in LA all last week, and obviously the food scene in LA is incredible.
Out of this world,
But it was cool. Like, I was able to think, all right, you know, if I'm, like, there are places like this in Roanoke. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily always go to them.
Very true.
But it's neat to be able to start making those connections between what we see as, like, the big metro cosmopolitan experience and little tastes of that here in Roanoke.
Right.
That's true. I mean, when I was in D.C., we would go to brunch all the time, and it's not something I think I've done very much at all since I've been in Roanoke, but it is one of those things, like, you know, get out of your comfort zone every once in a while and do something that you haven't always done when you're in town and experience the fullness of what Roanoke has to offer in some way.
Yeah.
So
cool.
All right. Well, Matt, we put you on the spot here with arts and culture. What have you got for us?
Speaking of Roanoke and growth and being a cool place, I want to celebrate the Taubman is coming up on 10 years, 10-year anniversary of the Taubman. And it's have either of you been out to see the new Drive exhibit and with the cars?
I have not.
I haven't.
So one of the things that I love about what Taubman is doing is that they're continually expanding what it means to be art and what people think of as art. So, like, this is all it's about, like, cars and the art of car design. And, like, when I think of, like, going to an art gallery, you know, I don't think of going and seeing, like, these cool old historical, beautiful cars, and I think we've seen them doing a lot of that. That's kind of become part of the Taubman's DNA as it's continued to mature as an organization. And I personally find that very cool. I find it makes the whole place more approachable. And I can think of, like, there are a lot of art museums, art exhibits that, you know, okay, you know, well, young people might not be as excited about going and seeing a bunch of paintings, but you know, if you put, you know, these cars out there, I know they've done other stuff with, like, you know, large other types of installations that are just a little bit more enticing to a wider variety of audiences. I think that's been a really cool part of their success, and I really look forward to seeing where that goes in the next 10 years.
Absolutely. So
if you haven't seen that exhibit, get out there and see it.
They do great work, and so, you know, it's another one of those things that I should probably go down there more often, but
yeah, me too. As much as I love art, I definitely feel like my inner core, I'm an artist. I should definitely go a little bit more.
We should probably try and figure out a way for the Roanoke Weekly to visit all the new exhibits when they start.
Absolutely.
The Taubman.
Well, and for folks who might not have ever visited the Taubman before, it's important to note that their general admission is free. So this isn't something that you've got to pay for and go this see all the fancy art. Like, you can just walk in there and most all of it. I think every now and then they'll do, like, a special exhibit, or they'll do, you know, special events and stuff that you have to pay for. But general admission is free and continues to be. And I think that also says a lot about trying to make art more accessible in our community.
Very good. Well, the business spotlight for this week is Davidson's Clothing. I'm sure most of you all are familiar with this. It's downtown Roanoke, and they also have an Electric Road location. But wanted to highlight them, A, because they're a community establishment. They've been around forever and continue to be a staple. But also, you know, my refrain is always, look what happens when businesses really engage with the community. I think that's what we've seen with Davidson's. You know, you've got the owner down there, Larry, is very engaged in a number of different community projects. And I think that's really paid off for him in a business sense, but also that his business is always giving back to community projects. And so, big shout out to Larry and the Davidson's team. If you're looking for something nice to go treat yourself to, it's a great place to go down there and get something fancy. It's not quite what I like to wear, but there are a lot of folks who look snazzy when they come out of Davidson's. So if you're a snappy dresser, then that's the place to be. But so in terms of events this week, Matt, why don't you tell us about this Tweed Ride shenanigan business?
Sure thing. So the Tweed Ride, it's an event being sponsored by Ride Solutions, the local organization that does a lot of work on bicycling and transportation issues. And they're sponsoring it. It's called a Tweed Ride. And what a Tweed Ride is it's an opportunity to kind of get dressed up and go on a historical tour by bicycle. And so this year the event is going to start at the museum in Salem, the Salem Museum. It's going to leave there at about 11 o'clock, We'll ride through Salem. We'll do some riding on the Roanoke River Greenway and then end up at Old Salem Brewing Company. And so I think it's cool. I've been on a couple of these in the past. This is the first one I think they've done in Salem. And so usually it's been around different neighborhoods in the city of Roanoke. So this is kind of getting outside of that comfort zone. I hope some of the Roanoke people that have been a part of this in the past will, you know, take their bikes over to Salem and experience that part of our community. I think, you know, oftentimes we put up artificial barriers between Salem and Roanoke, and I think this is a great way to break that down. For those who might not feel like you've got any tweed in your repertoire, whether that's, you know, some nice herringbone or, you know, a little Scottish plaid, really it's just an opportunity to wear something that looks a little old-timey, get together with friends for an easy bike ride. It's a really cool way to meet people that are interested in history and also in bicycling that's not just mountain biking or, you know, road biking for distance. So often when we think about people getting into biking, that's what we think of. But this is a whole other avenue to get people interested and excited about bikes and to learn more about our community. And, you know, we are ending up at the brewing company, so I'm sure that there will be some good socializing at the tail end of that. So there's a Facebook event. We can link to that. That's going on this Saturday.
Yeah, and again, all these links will be in our newsletter this week. But also want to share that the Neighborhood Potluck Awards celebration is going on this week on Friday, November 9th from 6 to 8 at the Jefferson Center. So great opportunity to get out and celebrate some of the people that are neighborhood organizations that are doing great work and also enjoy some lovely potluck meals there as well. So that'll be great. And did want to spotlight a couple other events, one being that this is an ongoing event, but I don't know that we've mentioned it, the House of Bread, which is a nonprofit organization that helps female ex-offenders coming out of prison learn how to restart their lives in some ways by baking bread, and they're going to have a bread stand at Village Grill on the 9th during the day as well. And then that VA21 is having Young Professionals Summit on Saturday the 10th. We'll have more details about this in the thing, but if you're interested in what VA21 is, it's essentially a lobbying organization for the state that's worried about what to do with young folks and how to speak up for young folks.
What do we do with those young folks?
Yeah, seriously.
That is very exciting, and that's here in Roanoke as well. That's an organization, though, that covers the whole
state. Absolutely. Xavier, you got any news for us or events coming up this week?
No. I guess I can just say thank you again for everybody that came out Saturday. I'll be open again Saturdays, and I plan on doing some exhibits with my photography. I don't know if you come and see it, you'll see I have my photography up from different countries I visited, but I do plan on doing some exhibits. Another way to push some art here, some networking events there. Got some good stuff coming.
Just to be clear, we're not talking about Pimp My Ride with exhibit, right?
No. Okay. No.
Different exhibit.
Something like that. You know, maybe pimp a bike.
What's the address and hours for Saturday?
601 11th Street, Northwest Roanoke, Virginia. We're open from 12 to 5.
And check out the gray mural while you're up there.
Absolutely. Come take some pictures.
Good deal. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, please give us a rating and review wherever you're listening to this. And if you hate Matt, then just know he might not be around for too long here now. But I think he did a great job today. But again, please do subscribe to the newsletter on our website, roanokeweekly.com, and subscribe, give us a rating, give us a review wherever you listen to this.
And here's a fun tip that I actually learned. Uh-oh. You can ask your Google Home to play the latest episode of Roanoke Weekly,
nice.
And it'll play it for you.
Very
that
good.
That easy.
Nice.
Well, so just tell all of the electronic people in your life
Alexa,
that you want to listen to.
Siri, Google Home.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank you guys so much.
Thank you.